brought to you by the Computer History Museum.
Welcome to From the Archives of the Computer History Museum. I'm curator Chris Garcia. Ted Dabney was an engineer known for his work at Bank of America, Ampex, and Nutting Associates. He is perhaps best remembered as the co-founder of Atari with Nolan Bushnell. In this 2012 oral history I conducted with Ted, he describes his work at Atari, as well as the work done by Bushnell and Al Alcorn, as well as other seminal figures in the early history of video games.
Anyway, no one had this brilliant idea. He's a carny guy, you know. That was his background, was carny. And he thought a pizza parlor, a carnival-type pizza parlor, would be a great thing to do. And so I said, hell, what the hell, we'll look. We started looking around, So one of these things, you have these ideas, and you no way you could ever make it happen. I mean, you could barely afford the pizza, much less a pizza place. So, but anyway, we go around, we looked at these places, all these places. Well, he came in to want me one time, and he says, hey, I want you to go see something with me. I said, what? He said, oh, they got this thing over at Stanford Artificial Intelligence Center, you know, that's just this outrageous thing. I said, okay, well, we'll go. So they got this rocket ship thing playing on this. I mean, they had a megabyte of core memory, you know, or the magnetic core memory. You know what that is? So, I don't know if you know how much that cost.
Oh, yeah. $1 a bit was pretty much a solid.
So, anyway, we're looking at this. So he decides we could get a PDP-8 or the Nova computer, and we could timeshare this and put coin slots on all these things and make lots of money. I said, oh, okay. Yeah, I'll go along with anything. It doesn't matter. I'll go along with pizza parlor. I'll go along with it. So we got together. We got a programmer, Larry Bryant, and we all went together and just set up this company called Syzygy. And that was Larry Bryant had submitted that. And so we looked it up in the dictionary, and sure enough, that's a good name. So we used that. And that was our partnership. But in order to do anything, we all agreed we got to put in $100. You know, and I'll open a bank account and we'll have it there. And I opened the account with $100, and then Nolan gave me $100 and I put that in. But Larry never gave us $100. Well, in the meantime, Larry couldn't get time on a computer. He couldn't write any code. And we did a cost analysis on this thing and says, no way. There's not enough quarters. So that kind of died. That was the end of it. That was the end of that whole project. We went back to pizza parlors and stuff. And so Nolan comes by to me one day and he says, when you adjust the vertical hold on a TV set, the picture moves back and forth like that. I said, yeah. He says, why is that? So I explained to him why. And he says, could we do that? Could we do something like that? I said, yeah, but we'd have to do it digitally because you can't do it analog. You never have any control. And then I forgot about phase-lock loops. We could have done it with a phase-lock loop, but I knew we could do it with digital. So he said, why don't you work on that? So I did, and that's, kicked my daughter out of her bedroom and set it up there and got all this stuff working. And sure enough, it was working fine. No one kept coming over all the time. He was always over at my house looking at what I was doing and finally got this thing working. He said, that's it, let's do it. And boom, he was off and gone. And the next thing I know, he got a contract or an agreement with Nutting Associates to actually build the game. So he quit his job with Ampex and went to work for Nutting to invent this game. And that's basically what he did. And then I come around in the evening. I wasn't going to give my 10-year job with Ampex just from this stupid thing, you know. But I'd come over in the evenings and help him out. And then we decided on this partnership. And what about Larry Bryan? And I said, he never put in his $100. So he was out. You know, if he had to put in his $100, he would have been, you know, he would have been in the partnership, but he didn't, so he wasn't. And not that he ever did anything anyway, you know, but that was irrelevant. Neither one of us had done anything either until I designed this motion circuit. And so Nolan went to work for Nutting and built this game. And so I helped him out, you know, designing the matrix for the diodes. We couldn't afford ROMs, you know. I mean, ROMs were expensive. They're real expensive. So we just, I had a friend that had two boxes of diodes. I bought them for $10 each or something like that. And well, we had all these diodes. I said, we can make anything we want out of diodes. So if you've seen a computer space inside, yeah, you see the picture of the diodes, yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, we have a strange one, actually in the exhibit. So that was the origin of computer space.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was.
I finally quit my job, and came over full time, because all of a sudden it looked like we were going to have something, you know, and Nutting was willing to pay my salary. You know, and I didn't really do much on that. My job was now to build a cabinet so we could put it in, because we didn't have any cabinets. All he had were the cabinets for his computer quiz, which wouldn't work. It wouldn't work at all, so I had to build a cabinet. And, I didn't tell you, when we started playing Go, we had this little Mickey Mouse board that we set on a waste paper basket. But it would bump it, and it'd all fall apart, you know. So one time I happened to be going by a store that made doors, and they had all these cutouts for the windows and the doors. So I bought a bunch of these things, you know, $6 a piece or something like that. And I carved a Go board in one of them, brought it in, and that was really neat, because that was really heavy, you know. But we had to figure out where to put it. We had no place to put it. So I made another one, a Go board. On the other side, I put the video file logo on it.
Oh.
Okay, and that way, when we hung it on the wall, all you see is a video file logo.
subterfuge.
Yeah. So anyway, that I just had to throw that in. But where did I throw it in from? I don't remember.
So you're at Nutting now.
Oh, yes, I'm at Nutting now. And I'm designing the cabinet and all like that and everything. So that, I guess, you know, that's kind of the beginning of it. From there on, it was no one got a hold of Bally. You try to, you know, do something with them, because we decided this was a good thing to do, design games for other people. And so he called Nutting, called Bally. He went, in fact, I guess he went back there to see him. And they said that as long as we were with Nutting, they had nothing to do with us, you know, because they couldn't. I mean, obviously, you can't, you know, have one game company working with the other game company. And at that time, we were still both on salary with Nutting. So we said, well, let's cut it. And in the meantime, this is the fun part. Bill Nutting was not the brightest guy in the world. He had a salesman named Dave Ralston that had kept that company alive with a archaic old game, you know, computer quiz. Mm-hmm. He had kept, you know, just selling just enough to keep the company alive, just working his butt off trying to, you know. When computer space came along, you didn't have to work. I mean, you just pick up the phone and, you know, how many you want. I mean, that's basically it. And so Bill Nutting saw how much money he was making. He fired him. Wow. You believe, I mean, a salesman should be the most highest paid person in your company. I mean, that's how you know you're doing good, if you, the how much money your salesman's making. If he's making more than you are, fine, it's okay. But no, he fired him. And but Bill Nutting, Ralston had built up a bunch of pinball machines, pool tables, stuff like that, around in the valley. And but now he wanted to get rid of it, so Nolan and I bought it from him. And so when we quit Nutting and started our own company, Syzygy, the only money that Nolan and I had, since we didn't have our paycheck anymore, was the money we were getting from these machines. So we would go around, make the collections, split up the money, you know, that kind of thing. It was really neat. And so the first thing that Nolan did, he hired Cynthia Villanueva to come in and, you know, handle the phones and, you know, be a receptionist and that kind of thing. And then we got a hold of, he got a hold of Bally again. Now that we were on our own, we were able to get a contract. And the contract said a video game and a pinball machine. Mm-hmm. So we had the contract. And so my job was to design the pinball machine. That was an important part of the contract. And Nolan hired Al Alcorn to design the, build the video game. But Nolan wanted a driving game. I think he had told Bally he was going to give him a driving game. I don't know that for sure, but I think that's what it was, because I know he wanted a driving game. He was adamant about wanting a driving game. So anyway, when he brought Al in, he put Al to work on just using the circuitry that I had designed to create a game, just to get it to working. Well, we had seen the Odyssey game, and it made sense, a ping pong game, pretty simple, it would do that. And so Al, you know, about 3 weeks, he had it all done, and was, you know, banging back and forth. Didn't have any sound, though. It was terrible without sound. But anyway, so we're in there, we're playing this thing, and this is fun. This is a lot of fun. Boom, 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 you know, that kind of stuff. And so then Al added sound to it, and that made it, it was really great. And he had segmented the paddle. So if you hit it, the bottom of the paddle, it would go down. You hit it with the top of the paddle, it would go up. And you hit it in the middle, it would go across. So you had, you know, that. Al was clever. He was a clever engineer.
Okay.
And but no, I don't care what you say, he was not a founder of Atari.
Yes.
And that's what he says he was.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I really got on him about that. So now he knows I hate him. It's not true. I mean, it's just that I just really gave him a bad time about calling himself. And he thought it was okay. But he wasn't. He was hired help. He was hired on $1,000 a month.
Yeah. He was employee number 3 after you and...
No, he was employee number 2.
Number 2, okay.
Cynthia was number 1.
Oh, okay.
He was number 2. And Nolan and I still didn't work for the company.
Oh, okay.
We were living off the money we got from that. Because the money we were getting from royalties was just enough to pay the rent and pay the... pay Cynthia, pay utilities, you know, and so that would, you know, all we had was, you know, what we got from the slot machines. Mm-hmm. Not slot machines, I'm sorry, pinball machines.
And now you were located over in Santa Clara at this point?
Yeah, on Scott Boulevard.
Yes. Yeah, I remember that building.
Yeah. In fact, Marty and Kurt and I went over there the other day to take some pictures of it.
Oh, wow.
Well, for the book they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, where I was. I lose, you know, when you get 75 years old, it all falls apart.
I think the last thing we were talking about was...
I was working on the pinball machine.
Pinballs, yeah.
And Al was... Al had designed this thing and had it working. And he put some sound in it, which was really neat. Beep, 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 you know, that kind of stuff. And we were playing that in Nolan's office. And bang, bang. Oh, we were just having the greatest time in the world. But Nolan said, no, we want a driving game. Got to have a driving game. This was just an exercise, you know. I said, no, this is fun. Al said, this is fun. So we badgered him. Well, what are we going to call it? Well, ping pong. No, can't call it. Can't ping. Can't call it ping. That's golf cups. You can't call it that. So we decided, well, we'll just call it pong. We found out later in England that it means poop. But we called it pong. And so we built up some prototypes, you know, and built 12 prototypes. And we sent one off to Bally, put one in the shop, and then Nolan and I put, you know, in our places where we had pinball machines and pool tables and stuff like that, we put them out, you know, round table pizzas and, you know, handicaps and Dutch goose and, you know, that kind of thing, place that we had. And boy, all of a sudden, Nolan and I were raking in the money, because after we were still living on that. And all of a sudden, there was so much money, we had to start banking it. We just, you know, no way we could, you know, so we started banking it. And in fact, you know, the failure mode, I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. The first one we put out was in handicaps. It was a small one that Al had built up. I built a little cabinet for it, and he built it up. Then we set it on a barrel, and we hung a coin mechanism from a laundry machine, you know, on it. And so when I worked on the interface for that and came up with the coin box and all this kind of stuff. So we put that in handicaps. And this was before we built those prototypes. I got ahead of myself. And the failure mode, it failed almost right away. Oh my God, Al goes down there to find out what's going on. The coin box got so full of coins and jammed the coin mechanism.
It's a good problem to have.
That's a problem to have, yeah. So that was incredible. And we kept trying to get Bally to go along with this thing, and Bally kept saying, kept not giving us a direct answer. So that's when we decided, well, we're going to build up 12 of them by ourselves. And we got them all working. Every ship went them off to Bally, put the other ones in the thing, and that's when Nolan and I were making the money. I mean, God, we were making the money. That was incredible. Because we were still living off of just what we got from the machines, but now all of a sudden the machines were, gargantuan. So that was incredible. That really was incredible. So, but we still didn't get any response back from Bally. You know, no response. And Nolan and I and Al are all sitting around Nolan's office trying to figure out what to do. We can't sell it to anybody else. That's not an option, because Bally had paid us $24,000 for this thing. You know, that wasn't even an option. So we couldn't sell it to somebody else. Bally wasn't going to take it. We couldn't afford to build it ourselves, design it, you know, going to our own manufacturing. So we're sitting around trying to figure out what to do. And I said, look, we got to either go in, we have to manufacture ourselves or go home. And I don't want to go home. The old Al says, you know what it's going to cost? You can't afford it. You got ICs, you got these, you got PC boards, you got, you know, TV sets, you got cabinets, you got all this kind of stuff. And Nolan was right in there too. You can't afford this. You know, no way we could afford this. I said, wait a minute. We're not talking about that. We're talking about what's our decision. Are we going to go home or are we going to manufacture it ourselves? Well, nobody wanted to go home. I left. We got to manufacture it ourselves. I said, okay, we've made that decision. Now we'll figure out what it takes to do it. And I said, I'll take care of the TV sets and the cabinets. And Al takes care of the ICs and PC boards. And Nolan takes care of everything else. And that's the way I split it up. And so I found a distributor in San Francisco for Hitachi TV sets. And so I bought 50 of them. And I used my own money because the company didn't have the money. I called P.S. Hurlbut, who was the guy that manufactured the cabinets for Nutting Associates. I had given him a drawing. Remember these 12 that we built before? Yeah. I'd give him a drawing of the cabinet we wanted. And he gave me a price, so it was a little higher than somebody else, so I went with somebody else, could save a few bucks, you know. Yeah. But he had the drawing. So I called Frank over at P.S. Hurlbut, and I said, you know that drawing I gave you? He said, oh yeah. I said, I need 50 of those cabinets, but I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to pay you. He said, it'd be ready in 2 weeks. No, he said, you can pick them up in 2 weeks. I said, we don't have a truck. He said, I'll deliver. Wow. I mean, they're just, it's incredible how things work out for you.
From the Archives, produced by curator Chris Garcia. Music is by John Plute. For more about our audio holdings as well as our oral history program, please visit computerhistory.org. Thanks for listening to From the Archives of the Computer History Museum.
This program was brought to you by the Computer History Museum.